to Tamagawa University. Before I joined Tamagawa, I worked in tourism industry for over 30 years. Throughout my career in tourism, I was always aware that language and ethnicity were very important all levels of tourism. From tourist experience to worker job satisfaction. Today, we are going to talk about our pilot study on Korean workers in Japan. To do this project, we draw in research on language and tourism between Japan and Australia. Lingri is looking at Japanese foreign workers in tourism in Australia. And he may be talking about this later on our channel. This is the title of today's talk. Visit Japan campaign is a Japanese government initiative to apply foreign tourists to Japan. I'll talk more about this later. But since this campaign was launched in 2003, more and more foreign tourists are coming to Japan. It's becoming important to prepare learning resources for them, including translation, tour guide, and interpreters. For example, this photo was recently taken in Shinjuku, Tokyo's major shopping area. This is an advertisement of a major garment shop chain, Victoria. On the top, you can see Yokoso Japan. It means welcome to Japan, which is a catchphrase of Visit Japan campaign. And then, you can see translation of advertisement in Korean, Chinese and English, apparently in order of importance. It's interesting for us because we didn't see this 10 years ago. Even if we did, it was only in English. In recent years, we started to see more and more advertisement in Korean and Chinese. This means that they have become important market for Japanese business. Let me talk about this Visit Japan campaign. It was launched in 2003 by then Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi. The aim of the campaign was to collect 10 million visitors per year by 2010 and 20 million visitors per year by 2020. It was a little less than 6 million in 2003. So you can see how ambitious this campaign is. In 2008, about 60% inbound tourists to Japan from its neighboring four countries and regions. We add also like to show you where it is located, but their share is not so big. As you can see, Korea is the number one country origin of tourists. These numbers show how important Korean tourists are to the Japanese tourism industry. But so many Korean tourists, language barrier is one of the big challenges to have a holiday in Japan. That's why Korean tour guide in Japan are important for not only Korean tourists, but also for Japanese tourism industry. So far, I mentioned several reasons, but let me review them. Firstly, Korea is the number one country of origin of international tourists to Japan. Also, as you saw in this year's advertisement, Korean tourists are increasingly recognized as an important market for Japanese business in Japan. Business in Japan. However, today, there have been few studies. Look at experience of Korean tourism workers in Japan. Therefore, what we wanted to do was to run a pilot study to find out what it is like for Korean to work in tourism industry in Japan. What the role of their language, skill, and ethnicity in working with Japanese colleagues. Our research question were what we wanted to find out in our pilot study with Korean tourism workers, how they get into tourism industry in Japan. Two, major incidents that formed their view of Japanese view of Korean tourism and the workers. And three, how they negotiate their ethnic and linguistic identities with Japanese colleagues and their Japanese workers. Now we'll introduce you three Korean participants in our study.
Thank you. These are the participants. As you can see, they differ in time of arrival, and age, and sex. We heard many stories that could be explained by difference of these, but we'd like to save that for next time. Meanwhile, I'd like to point out all they have very high proficiency in Japanese. As I told us, they have invested a lot of time and energy to get to their level. And initial motivation. This is our first research question. And we find some patterns here. They all came to Japan not to work in tourism industry, but to study something else. To study fine art, to study fashion, to study Japanese, or to have fun in Japan. That's good. Well, but at some point of their life, they chose to stay in Japan and they had to work, find a job. At that point, being bilingual and bicultural was a major resource or capital to get employment. I say Korean and Japanese were a very good combination. Especially there was a time the number of Korean tourists in Japan was rapidly increasing. With their bilinguality, the needs of Korean speakers in tourism industry, but labor market, it was not too difficult for them to get a career, to start a career in tourism industry. So it was relatively easy to get a job in tourism. But once they started, it was a different story. Well, this incident happened to Ms. Kim. As a tour guide, she often worked with bus drivers. They're usually Japanese because the bus drivers do not have to speak bus drivers do not have to speak Korean. But one day, she had a problem with a bus driver. Because it was raining on that day, she wanted the bus driver to park the bus near the place they visited. But the bus driver refused it. For a good reason, actually. There was no parking area. Anyway, she had to ask our customers to work in the rain, and it was not nice at all. When she got back on the bus, she complained and confronted the driver. Because her customers were watching, she didn't do it for long. But since then, the drivers from the same bus company became cold to her. Appeared with the bus driver, she confronted all other drivers about the story, and she was socially excluded from that day on. She thinks this happened because she took the Korean way to solve the problem. And it led to her to think she should adapt Japanese way to solve the problem in the future. what we can say from this. There are three points I'd like to make. First, although she had a very high proficiency in Japanese, she was excluded from the workplace because the strategy she took to solve the problem, what she believed Korean way, was not perceived right by the driver. So we could say that gaining linguistic capital does not necessarily guarantee power in the workplace. Throughout this incident, she gained local knowledge as to how Japanese solve issues at work. I will tell you another incident in a minute, but she began to take that what she considered as Japanese way to solve issues with Japanese colleagues. On the other hand, the driver, he reacted to the conflict through a course of action. He involved many co-workers and socially excluded Ms. Kim from their workplace. He didn't explain very well to Ms. Kim that he wasn't allowed to park the bus close to the building and so on, but he refused to do what she asked him to do without good explanation. Based on what Ms. Kim told us, it might be possible that these actions act as a substitute for ethnic discrimination. In this workplace, discrimination could be emerged along with communicative differences rather than ethnicity. Either way, it was a tough experience for Ms. Kim. Ms. Kim told us another story. It was a two-day tour. She was working with a different driver on another occasion. She felt the driver was seeing her as a pushover because he thought she didn't know much Japanese. She complained to the bus company to change the bus driver on the following day, but there was no change on the same next day. Simply, there was not enough time to arrange something new. When she learned she had to work with the bus driver, the same bus driver, on the next day, she consciously changed her strategy to work with the driver. Rather than directly confronting, she just focused on doing her job perfectly. As she said, I did a perfect job as a tour guide. This worked very well for her. In fact, at the end of the two-day tour, the bus driver who remained distant from her came to her and thanked her for her job. She said that the sense of... Right, so what she said was, a sense of being valued of her work was overwhelming because she didn't expect this to happen. And on one previous incident, she used a different way of solving a problem or conflict. She think by changing her communicative strategy from Korean style to Japanese style, she successfully gained respect and self-esteem. Of course, we drew these interpretations from Ms. Kim's narratives, so it could be quite different from Driver's version of the recollection. But at least we can say, in her view, the gap shown in the first incident was filled by not just language proficiency, but adapting the right strategies to solve the problem in the workplace. We can also observe non-nativeness of Japanese played as a clear indicator for as a newcomer. And driver sees that newcomer can be pushed around to fit in the norm of their workplace. Here, respect is not so much about the proficiency of the language, but quality of assigned job. From this, we might be able to say that if people at work could share the goal of work and strategy of achieving it, linguistic and ethnic barrier may be minimized at workplace. Finally, Mr. Lee's experience. He works as a tour guide, and he confronted a rude Japanese shopkeeper in Asakusa one day. Asakusa is a popular tourist site in Tokyo. I hear people work there take great pride in working in Asakusa. One day, he took his customers to Asakusa, and while his customer was shopping, he was standing behind them to give support when they need. At the shop, when his Korean customers were touching some cultural things, the shopkeeper started warning them in Japanese. Then his attitude was quite rude. The Korean tourist didn't understand Japanese, so the shopkeeper switched to English, again with rude attitude. Having observed the shopkeeper's rude attitude, Mr. Lee told the shopkeeper in Japanese that he was being rude. The shopkeeper was surprised that none of Koreans around at the place could speak Japanese, and eventually he apologized. He had to complain because he wanted to support his customers, but at the same time, he wanted to let the shopkeeper realize his attitude was damaging the reputation of Asakusa as a world-class tourist site. From shopkeeper's perspective, we observe some interesting issue of positioning and based on language use. The shopkeeper could use rude Japanese to the Korean tourist because they wouldn't understand it. Obviously, shopkeeper, so he was in power here. And then he switched to English. But when Mr. Lee complained in Japanese, it shocked him, because he didn't expect the Koreans there to understand Japanese. Here, the shopkeeper lost his power and face. He lost his face because he was called being rude, and obviously this is not acceptable manner as a shopkeeper. There was an immediate shift in the power relation by Mr. Lee's positioning of himself as a Japanese-speaking tour guide. And what we can say from this, Mr. Lee sees himself or defines himself as a mediator between Korean tourists and local Japanese. And he sees sorting out problem caused by linguistic and cultural differences an important one. He also defines himself as highly qualified and committed to improving customer service for the good of Japanese tourism industry. This seems to come from his strong sense of belonging not only to the Japanese society, but also to his professional field, the tourism industry. In summary, support from colleagues and other workers in tourism is important, but as we saw, the issue of linguistic and ethnic identities as Korean workers could result in undesirable situations. Access to local communicative strategy is crucial to gaining supporting inclusion in the workplace. So in order to assure efficiency in customer service, it is important that workers are ready to work together, regardless of ethnic and linguistic background. It is also important that we start providing professional development training for non-Japanese workers as well as Japanese workers. Finally, it seems like we have been picking on shortcomings of Japanese tourism workers, but foreign tourist satisfaction rate are very high. I don't have an exact number here, but it was somewhere over 90%. However, based on our pilot study, we believe that more work needs to be done to make the tourism industry as a socially inclusive workplace for non-Japanese workers. Obviously, stories like Mr. Kim told wouldn't have emerged if we only asked Japanese workers and foreign tourists. Thank you.
Thank you. Great to see you.